And we're obviously going to talk about dinosaurs in the Bible, and it's going to be a very interesting talk, but don't tell the adults here, but this talk is really for them. So they need to pay attention. You can quiz them afterwards to see if they caught all this. It's interesting for younger people, but it's really important for adults. And the main point that I'm going to make is really not so much about dinosaurs. It's really going to be about the Bible. And what I want to do while I'm talking to you about dinosaurs is I want to teach you that no matter what topic anyone ever brings up with you, they ask you a question, your first reaction should be, hold on a second, let me see what the Bible says about that. Because it's not really about your opinion versus theirs. We want to tell them what God says about whatever question they're asking. So if they ask you about dinosaurs, you can kind of say, hold on, let me see what God says about dinosaurs. Or if they ask you some other question, you always want to say, hold on, let me see what God tells us about that, and then share that with them. So that's really what this is going to be all about as we're discussing dinosaurs here. Now, guess what that says? That says dinosaurs in the Bible, but it's in Russian, because I gave this talk over in Russia a number of months ago, and I forgot I still had that slide in here. So I have a quiz for you before we get into the talk itself. The quiz is this: which of these creatures has been on the earth the longest? Now, you can't possibly have a guess because you don't even see any creatures yet. But here's the point. When I ask you this and show you the creatures, I want you to think of two answers. Your answer, what you think the answer is, and then what you think someone else might answer. Like someone in town at Walmart, someone who doesn't maybe go to church, they might not even believe in God, what would their answer be to this question? Which of these creatures has been on the earth the longest? The bald eagle, the T-Rex, the dolphin, or the fish? Now, I'm actually not going to answer the question. Not right now. We'll get to the end, and we will get to the end. This is a little bit longer talk, so I might have to skip some slides at the end to make sure we end on time, but we're going to bring this back up. I will fast forward at the end to get to this question. And remember what you're thinking right now, what your answer is, and then maybe what you think someone else might answer that question. Now, this is also important too, because you guys are all really smart. So I want you to use the minds that God gave you and really think about everything that you're hearing here. If it turned out that there were two different sources that you could go to learn about something, whatever the topic would be, two places, A and B, two places you could go to learn about something. What if you were only told part of one of those things and none of the other one? Might you come to the wrong conclusion about that topic? Yeah, I'd be surprised if you didn't have the wrong ideas about that topic if you're only being told part of one thing and then the other thing they don't tell you about at all. That's what happens with teaching about dinosaurs. We're only really told part of the science and really none of the Bible. I mean, school, like when you go to school, they're not going to say, hey, we're going to learn about dinosaurs today, so get out your Bibles. You know, if you go to a Christian school, they would do that, but at the public schools, they're never going to talk about the Bible when you're learning about dinosaurs. Now, I kind of understand that, so you're told part of the science and really none of the Bible in the school. But then even many Christians say, yeah, but the Bible doesn't say anything about dinosaurs. I would agree that if the Bible doesn't say something about a topic, then you can believe whatever you want. But if the Bible says something about that topic, that needs to be where you start. You start with that and build from there. For example, if you want to know who was the first man, the Bible has something to say about that. You guys, yeah, you probably know. It was Adam. We get that from Genesis chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 15:45. Adam was the first man. The Bible is very clear on that. But if you want to know how tall was the first man, guess what? The Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know. If you want to guess he was 6'3", I'm fine with that. I think maybe Adam was 6'3". You might wonder why. That's my face on Adam. It's my wife's face on Eve there. I had to put my wife's face up there, otherwise she'd say, who was that woman I saw you with? So we don't know how tall Adam was. The Bible doesn't tell us, so we're not sure. You can guess whatever you want. Well, here are some of the questions I'm going to answer. We won't have time to go through each one of these, but when I do my full series on this, we cover these types of questions. Why isn't the word dinosaur in the Bible? When were the dinosaurs created? Were they vicious meat eaters? How old are dinosaur fossils? Did dinosaurs and man ever live together? Were dinosaurs on the ark? And how big were those dinosaurs? So we'll answer quite a few of those, but I'm going to go pretty fast, and the focus is always on what does God's Word tell us. Now, we're going to do a fun exercise now, but it's not this kind of an exercise. We're going to do something that we call a mental exercise. You're going to do this in your mind. You're going to think about this one. So pretend I just gave each one of you a blank piece of paper, and I'm going to ask you to write on that piece of paper everything you know about dinosaurs. Just little bullet points. It might be one thing on that paper, or you might fill up a whole page with things that you know about dinosaurs. So think in your mind what you would write on your piece of paper. And then when you're done, I would ask you to look at your piece of paper and everything you just wrote and ask yourself, which of those things that you wrote do you actually really truly know versus, well, that's what someone told me. Pretty much everything on that piece of paper isn't something you really know for sure. It's just what someone told you. So I want you to keep in mind, because maybe what someone told you isn't necessarily true. So we need to keep thinking about these things and compare it to what the Bible tells us about these topics. How many of you have ever read Danny and the Dinosaur? I'm always surprised how many people read it, because you know what? I read it when I was a kid. It's been around a long time. And the only reason I read it is because it had a picture of a dinosaur on it. I hated reading when I was your age, but because it had a picture of a dinosaur, I took a look at it. And there are lots and lots and lots and lots of books on dinosaurs. There's hundreds of books out there on dinosaurs, including Dr. Seuss. I kind of liked Dr. Seuss too because of the rhymes that were in there. Well, this is what Dr. Seuss teaches us about dinosaurs. It says this, if I can read it. I am the Cat in the Hat. Maybe I can read it up here. I am the Cat in the Hat. We have met before. Today I will speak of the great dinosaur. Dinosaurs lived on the earth long ago, long before you and me. So how do we know? And then it goes on to say this. From fossils. Dinosaur teeth, eggs, and bone got stuck in the muck, and that muck turned to stone. These fossils are old. They are dusty and worn because they were made long before you were born. And then it goes on to say, not hundreds of years, not thousands of years, but millions of years long before you were born. That's what Dr. Seuss is teaching us, that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, long before people were on the planet. That's what I learned from Dr. Seuss when I was your age, and that's what Dr. Seuss is still teaching today about dinosaurs. So a lot of people think, well, that's true because it's in the book. It must be true. Dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. Now, how many of you have ever been to Goodwill? You have a Goodwill store around here? Maybe a store you can go buy used clothing. We've got them, you know, all over. My wife likes to go to these stores, so she finds good deals. I don't enjoy going there, but I'll go with her sometimes once in a while. One day I was there, and I was just trying to find something to do as she's shopping, and I was just looking through the men's T-shirts, and I pulled one out. And I said, hey, Amy, look at this. This is just like my T-shirt. She said, no, that is your shirt, and you're not buying it back. She took it out of my closet and gave it away. Another day we were in there and she was shopping and I was trying to find something to do to kill time because I was really bored, and I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go over to the book section and I bet they have books on dinosaurs. They have kids' books, children's books on dinosaurs. I bet I'll be able to find one. And I bet myself that the first dinosaur book I pull off that shelf, when I turn to the first page, it's going to tell me dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. That's what I'm guessing. And I told myself, if I'm right, I owe me a hot fudge sundae. And if I'm wrong, I owe me a hot fudge sundae. So either way, it was going to work out pretty good for me. Well, I went over to the shelf and I found this book. I bought the book to take a picture of it to put it in my presentation here. This was the book that I found. I just pulled it off the shelf. I'd never seen it before. I opened to page one, and this is what it said on page one. Dinosaurs lived long, long ago, even before people lived on the earth. They ruled and roamed the land for millions of years. So guess what? I got a hot fudge sundae. And it was really good. But that's what they taught. I knew it first page. That's what you're going to be taught about dinosaurs. I even flipped it over to the back cover. And this is what it said on the back. Millions of years ago, dinosaurs walked the earth. They came in all shapes and sizes. So again, that's just what you learn about dinosaurs. They lived millions of years ago. And that sounds fascinating, doesn't it? Is it true? I don't know. We'll have to see. Does the Bible have anything to say about that? You know, you go to school and you learn about history, right? And then you go to church, you learn about Jesus. And then you go to school and you learn about science, right? And then you go to church, learn about Jesus. Then you go back to school and you learn about dinosaurs, and you go back to church and learn about Jesus. Now, this confuses a lot of Christians. They're like, I don't know what to think about dinosaurs because we don't talk about dinosaurs at church. I have to go to school to learn that. And they tell me millions of years ago they lived in all that. It must be okay because I don't hear about it at church. So a lot of Christians don't know where to stick a dinosaur in the Bible. In their minds, it doesn't fit. They don't know, like, where would dinosaurs fit in the Bible? I don't think we have to fit them in the Bible. You know why I say that? Because that sounds like a problem. Like, where in the world am I going to stick a dinosaur in here? That's a problem. No, it's not a problem. What we do is we study God's Word, and it helps us properly understand the truth about dinosaurs. Not a problem at all. That's what we want to do. And I skipped a few slides here, but you typically will not see the word dinosaur in the Bible when you're reading it. Why is that? Because when they were translating the Bible from the original languages, they were doing that before we ever even invented this word. This word didn't even exist when they were translating it. Like, for instance, the King James Bible that I grew up with and I still use, this was translated 230 years before we even had the word dinosaurs. So you're not going to find the word dinosaur in here, or microwave, or cell phone, or anything. Those terms didn't even exist back then. But you do see the word dragon quite a bit in the Bible. And it's used to refer to these creatures that we would today call dinosaurs. Now, here's the cover of Time magazine. They're also going to teach us about dinosaurs. So this is a secular publication. And the cover of the magazine said the truth about dinosaurs. So what are they going to tell us? They're going to tell us the truth about dinosaurs. Now, there was another title on the cover here that I don't think the publishers thought about very much when they put it on there. This is the other portion. It said this: surprise, just about everything you believe is wrong. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, where did I learn most of what I think I know about dinosaurs? From them, from their magazines. But now they're telling me I'm wrong about my beliefs. But they're the ones who told me. So you know what that means, if you're thinking? That means they were wrong when they told me. Well, if they were wrong before when they told me, why should I believe them now? How come they're magically right now when they're admitting, yeah, I guess we were wrong before? So it's kind of strange. But now they're going to tell us the truth about dinosaurs. And what do they tell us? Well, this is the standard story we learned from the magazines and from our public school systems and our state universities. This is it. That dinosaurs lived for millions of years and they became extinct or died out about 65 million years ago. And then mankind started evolving from an ape-like creature about 6 million years ago. And then we developed into our more modern look about 200,000 years ago. That's what we teach in our school systems. So you can clearly see that dinosaurs existed millions of years ago, and there's millions of years that went by in between dinosaurs being here and people being here. So they're telling us people and dinosaurs never lived together at the same time. That's what I was taught growing up in the school system, and that's what they teach today. So when were those dinosaurs actually created then? If we're going to take a look at the Bible, does the Bible tell us? It really does. And the Bible needs to be our starting point. What did God tell us about these things? Well, this is what the Bible says in Exodus 20:11. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh. God tells us in his word, he created everything in 6 days. It doesn't say that God created everything except for the dinosaurs in 6 days. No, he created everything in 6 days. Well, dinosaurs are part of everything, aren't they? So they must have been created in those 6 days. Well, when? God tells us that too. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, and cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God created all these creatures, the land creatures, on day six. All the land creatures on day six. Well, guess what? Dinosaurs were land creatures. So they must have been created on day six, according to God's word. This isn't my philosophy. God's word says he created the land creatures on day six, and dinosaurs were land creatures, so they must have been created on day six. But a lot of people say, yeah, but they couldn't have been. There's no way dinosaurs could have been created on day six, because the Bible says that God created Adam and Eve on day six. And you can't have Adam and Eve and dinosaurs living at the same time because dinosaurs were vicious meat eaters and they would have eaten Adam and Eve. That's what a lot of Christians think. They're using their own thinking rather than looking at what God says. So we have to ask this question, were dinosaurs vicious meat eaters? What does the Bible say? Oh, come on, the Bible doesn't tell us what dinosaurs ate, right? It actually does. You might be surprised, but this is what it says. Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 through 30. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be meat or food. God's giving the trees and the vegetation as food. And to every beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat or food. And it was so. What is this telling us? It's telling us that all God's creatures originally were vegetarian. They didn't eat meat. They ate vegetation and fruit and leaves and things like that. Is this my theory, my philosophy? No, this is what God's word says. It's very clear. You can read it yourself. God gave the plants of the field as food for all the creatures, lions, tigers, bears, people, dinosaurs, everything. They were vegetarian to begin with. But then you look at the T-Rex and you look at those teeth. Am I trying to tell you that that's a vegetarian? Look at those teeth. Here's one tooth. It's about 6 inches long. I've got a replica here that I have on my table. I brought it out here. This is a T-Rex tooth. It's really big. This is a tooth from a vegetarian? That doesn't seem to make sense. So let's think about this a little bit further. Here's the skull of a creature that's around today. Obviously, this is the skull of a vicious meat eater. Look at the teeth on that guy. Wow. Guess what? That's the skull of a fruit bat. Do you have any idea what fruit bats eat? They eat pizza. No, they don't eat pizza. They eat fruit. That's why we call them a fruit bat. So just because they have larger, sharp teeth doesn't make them a meat eater. Here's another skull. Very large, sharp teeth on this guy. It's got to be the skull of a meat eater. Well, that's the skull of a grizzly bear. Now, today, grizzly bears can eat meat, but you know what? They're largely vegetarian. Then we have this skull. The teeth on this guy are enormous. Got to be a vicious meat eater. That's the skull of a hippo. You're right. Very good. Hippos are basically vegetarian. One last one. The teeth on this guy are really, really sharp. It's got to be a vicious meat eater. That's the skull of a giant panda. Pandas use sharp teeth for stripping bamboo or when they're pretending to play the flute. That's just my bad sense of humor. But I saw that and I was like, I got to put a flute there. So anyway, my sense of humor. Now this actually belongs to me. No, not the car, the picture. Actually, the picture's not even mine. Got it off the internet. I thought we were talking about dinosaurs and teeth and meat eating and all that. What are we talking about cars for? Here's why. In the summer, it can get really hot out. So what do you do when you're driving the car in the summer? You can roll the window down. You can turn the air conditioning on. You'd be just fine, even though it's really hot out. In the winter, it can get really cold out. So what do you do when it gets really cold in the winter? You turn the heater on in the car. So a car is designed to handle the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter. It's the same thing with God's creatures. He created them all to be vegetarian. But he created some of them to be able to eat meat because God knew that when Adam and Eve sinned, that was going to bring death and corruption into God's creation. And he was going to allow them to eat meat, and he designed them so that later they could, but he created them all originally as vegetarian. This is Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. This is just after the flood. So God creates everything that's perfect. Adam and Eve sin. That brings death and corruption to God's creation. And almost 1,700 years later, things are so bad, God sends a flood to wipe them all out, but he spares Noah and his family, and now they're coming off the ark. Noah and his family and two of each kind of animal coming off the ark, and this is what God tells them as they're coming off the ark. It says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The fear and dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands they are delivered. In this passage, God is saying, now all the animals are going to be afraid of you people. If we're thinking, and God wants us to think, what does that tell us? It tells us that before the flood, the animals were not afraid of people. They got along just fine. They're all vegetarian. They're not competing with each other or eating each other. They're eating plants. But now God says things have changed. Because of mankind's sin and all that, things are different. Now all the animals are going to be afraid of people. And he goes on to say this: every moving thing that liveth shall be meat or food for you. Even as I gave the green herb, have I given you, now I give you all things. So God's saying, now it's okay to eat meat. So were dinosaurs vicious meat eaters? I think some of them were. Not originally, they were all vegetarian, but things changed, and God at one point after the flood said, now it's okay to eat meat, and he designed them to be able to eat meat. He designed people to be able to eat meat too, and many animals. He gave them that ability so that later they could actually eat meat. But originally they were vegetarian. And we get that from God's word. So how old are these dinosaur fossils and how do they come up with ages? I'm skipping a lot of slides here. It can get a little technical. But I want to cover this. When they dig up a dinosaur bone, they don't find a little tag on it that says 65 million years old. The scientists have to come up with an age. And if I had time to tell you how they came up with it, you'd say, that's not science. That's cheating. And it really is. What I will share with you are some reasons why we know these dinosaur bones cannot possibly be millions of years old. I'm going to give you a few reasons here. Number one, most dinosaur bones we find are still fresh, like a cow bone. If these bones were millions of years old, they should have turned into a fossil a long time ago, but most of them are still fresh. Then these bones also have something in them called carbon-14. And here's a simple story. If I had some ice cubes sitting on this table up here, and I told you all, these ice cubes have been here for 500 years, you'd look at me and think, you're crazy. They would have melted after a few minutes. They melt away kind of quick. They're not going to last 500 years. It's the same thing with this thing called carbon-14. It melts away. It doesn't last very long. It's not going to last hundreds of thousands or millions of years. But it's still in the bones, telling us those bones can't be very old. Then we have something called soft tissue and red blood cells in dinosaur bones that hasn't decayed yet. Red blood cells and soft tissue, you can stretch this tissue and it snaps right back. If it was 65 million years old, it shouldn't even be there. And they're finding it more and more and more. And now we even have DNA that's inside your cells. It's got all the information to make your body. That's even more fragile than red blood cells. And it's still in dinosaur bones. And it shouldn't be there, but they're finding it over and over and over. And talking about finding dinosaur bones, last August I got to go on a dinosaur excavation out in western Colorado, specifically to find dinosaur bones to give to scientists who are Christians to do testing on to see if they can find red blood cells in the soft tissue. And so here's me digging in the dirt there, and we did find a number of dinosaur bones, and right now they're on their way over to the University of Liverpool in the United Kingdom to be tested for these materials. I'll be over in the United Kingdom later this summer for the third time. So I've actually found dinosaur bones, and now we're going to look for these materials that tell us these bones can't be millions of years old. They were buried in the flood probably about 4,500 years ago. So did dinosaurs and man ever live together? That's a big question. I got to fast forward through this and then just start to wind down here. There's so much evidence that dinosaurs and people existed at the same time. I could talk for over an hour just on that. I'm going to try to fast forward through some of this. There's a lot of lines of evidences. There's a lot of stories of people who say they've sighted these dinosaurs in the Congo region of Africa. The natives describe something they call Mekele Emembe, and when they describe it, it sounds like a long-necked dinosaur, like a brachiosaur. And they said they've routinely seen that in the past. Also, we have fossils of something called a mosasaur, 50 feet long. I've got a scuba diver up there, but that's not the size of the scuba diver. If I put the scuba diver in scale here, that would be the scale of the diver. That's how big the mosasaur was. We've got the bones of it. We know it was that big. So imagine something like this coming out of the sea when there's a ship in the area. There's a lot of stories of sea captains saying a big sea creature came out and capsized the boat, cut it in half or whatever. That would be very simple to do for a creature that was that big. So these stories that we're hearing are not made up stories. They're talking about things that actually happened. There's a lot of evidence for that. And again, I mentioned the word dragon. We see that throughout the Bible, and I think many of the instances it's referring to a creature that today we would use the word dinosaur, but back then they didn't have that word, so they used the word dragon. Now, when you picture a dragon, you picture this creature like that with the wings and all that. I mean, that's just made up in fantasy, right? Take a look at this dinosaur that they've discovered. It's called Dracorix. It looks very much like a dragon. Now, it doesn't have wings, so probably what happened is they saw something like Dracorix, and they draw it and represent it and all that, and maybe at some point says, oh yeah, it had wings too. They might have made that up. It may not have had wings. But they saw these creatures, and they had interactions with them, and there's so many reports from history of this happening. And many other biblical references, one in particular is in the book of Job, chapter 40, talks about Behemoth. And it says this about Behemoth, that he moves his tail like a cedar tree. He's the chief of the ways of God, the biggest creature. He drinks up a river. He draws up the Jordan River into his mouth. When you look at the description in Job chapter 40, it's not describing any creatures that we see around today. The only thing it really matches up with is something like a large brachiosaur. So I believe that God is talking to Job about a large dinosaur. And this is after the flood. Those creatures would have existed even after the flood. There's a lot of details that we have to skip. So I'm going to skip through a bunch of slides here right now to get towards the end. There's a lot of paintings and carvings. Here's some pictures I'll show you really quick because they're kind of fascinating. This was a painting that was made. Looks just like a dinosaur, doesn't it? This was painted long before we dug up any dinosaur bones. We didn't have any dinosaur bones, but they had painted this. How could they paint something like that unless they had actually seen that creature? Then there's some more here I'll fast forward to. We outlined this one. Looks just like a dinosaur. This was, again, painted long before we dug up any of the bones. Then in Queensland, Australia, we got the natives drawing this. Looks very much like a plesiosaur. And even inside it, they had a picture of a native. Apparently, it had eaten one of them. They had a lot of detailed drawings long before we dug up any of these bones for plesiosaurs. So they must have seen these creatures swimming around. Then back to Utah, United States Black Dragon Canyon in Utah. Fast forward here, there is a painting of a pterodactyl, painted long before we dug up any pterodactyl bones. So how do they know what to paint unless they'd actually seen some in their history? Looks just like a pterodactyl. And in Cambodia, in a monastery there called Angkor Wat, carved into the building here, you'll see this thing here. Looks very much like a stegosaurus. This was carved in 1186 AD. That's hundreds of years before we dug up any dinosaur bones. How could they possibly have carved this unless they'd actually seen something like that? And there's just, again, evidence after evidence after evidence. Now, we don't see them walking around today, so what happened to them? Well, it was the flood. The flood wiped out the vast majority of dinosaurs, but there actually would have been two of each kind on the ark. I don't have time to go through all those details, but when you study Scripture, Noah took two of each kind of animal on the ark, and God didn't say take two of each kind except forget the dinosaurs. In fact, Noah didn't even pick and choose them. God brought two of each kind to him. And dinosaurs are kinds of animals. There probably would have been 50 different kinds of dinosaurs on the ark. And we have to skip, you know, some of that. How would they fit on the ark? Well, the average size of a dinosaur is about the size of a buffalo. Some of them were as small as chickens. Some got really big, but you don't take a full-grown T-Rex on the ark. You take a smaller one, which could have been this size. But no problem fitting two of each kind of dinosaur on the ark. So you have them coming off the ark afterwards. Some of them were hunted to extinction. Some of them couldn't survive as well in the new environment. The environment was very different after the flood. So a lot of them died out. And as far as we know today, we don't see them around. Certainly not a T-Rex or a large one. But there could be small reptiles in different places of the earth today that technically are dinosaurs. So when we look at Scripture, we get a very different picture than what we're taught from the school system. Now the school system, they're not trying to lie to you. They've just never heard any of this. And they're teaching you what they learned when they were your age. And they're just teaching it because they think it's true. So don't get mad at your teachers if they say something about millions of years. They don't know any of this. It's unfortunate that they're not allowed to hear those things. So wrapping up with our quiz here. Which of these creatures has been on the earth the longest? We have the bald eagle, the T-Rex, the dolphin, or the fish. Now to save time, I'm going to give you the answer. What most people that would say instantly say, well, the T-Rex has been around the longest because it's a dinosaur. We know dinosaurs roamed the earth millions of years ago. Well, now you know better. Here's the answer. It's A, C, and D. Everything except the T-Rex. Those other creatures we're here longer. Why would I say that? We go back to Scripture. What does Scripture tell us? God created the creatures of the air and the sea on day 5. That's the bald eagle, the dolphin, and the fish. The next day, on day 6, he created the land creatures, which would include the dinosaurs. So those other creatures are here first, only one day earlier, but they were here first according to God's word. We always need to go back to God's word to see what did he tell us. So this whole talk isn't really about dinosaurs. It's about the authority of Scripture, God's word. That God is pretty smart, isn't he? He's like infinitely smart. He knows everything. So why wouldn't we go to him to figure out truth rather than talking to people who, you know what? They weren't there in the beginning to see it. They don't know everything. They make mistakes. Sometimes they even lie about it. And they're studying a planet that is not the way God made it to begin with. It's been cursed. It's going downhill. So they might come to some wrong conclusions when they're looking around. So do we trust what they think? Or do we trust God, who was there in the beginning, knows everything, and does not lie? We trust God. That's the biggest thing I can teach you. For the rest of your life, always believe that God knows what he's talking about and believe everything in here, and it'll help you properly understand and make sense of everything.